Let's pray. Lord, thank you for each day that you give us opportunity to serve you, and especially when we can just meditate for a few moments on truths from your word. Pray you'll guide and direct now during this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been going through all of the different characteristics of the Lord Jesus, and of course, every characteristic of the Lord Jesus can be ours, and that's exciting. In fact, when the Spirit of God's in control, the very life of Christ is our life, and so these characteristics should be seen in our life. And so as we get to some that may be a little more convicting than others, be encouraged, because God is able to overcome our natural desires and enable us to be what we ought to be. So, in alphabetical order, our subject today is being a servant. Being a servant. And this needs to be thought of from a spiritual standpoint. Servanthood is the opposite of the normal fleshly perspective. We are born very much just concerned about ourselves. Ask any baby, you know. They're really, you know, they'll smile at you, but they just want what they want right now. I mean, they want to eat, they want whatever. And so we got a long way to go from a baby to a servant. And really, you can put servant and love in the same category. Whenever you look at a progression of spiritual maturity, it always starts with faith. Faith enters you into a relationship with Christ. And then it's faith in what God says in each step of your Christian growth that causes God's grace, God's free gift of His power, to transform you. And all of that will bring you down the progression, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And love is the absence at that time, of at that moment, of self, where you put God and others over yourself. Is that natural? Never natural. Even benevolent actions, when done even very sincerely by people that are lost, there is still a selfish motive in it. True, unselfish, sacrificial love is a miracle that contradicts our human nature. And so when we talk about servanthood, we're talking about overcoming our natural tendencies and to serve one another. Now, let me say this too. I think some ladies, you look at other ladies, and some ladies just seem to have that gift of, you know, they're always there, meeting the needs, they're seemingly sacrificial, and it's just, and you feel rather intimidated. You know, I'm just not the same personality. I don't have some of the same giftings to help. I don't even sometimes see things, you know. I'm just different than that. Be very thankful for people, for ladies in particular, that just do serve. But don't be intimidated by that. We're talking about in your realm, in your responsibility of learning to put others first, and to take your gifting and take your abilities and use them for others. The whole idea is being free from self. See, we are born wanting to be served. We want to end our life wanting to serve, not be served. I mean, that's sort of the progression we're talking about here. And it is important. By love, serve one another, Galatians 5 says. Now, I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20, if you would. And here is just a remarkable statement by the Lord in chapter 20, verse 28. Well, actually, let's go to the whole context here. Back in verse 20 of chapter 20, then came to him the mother of Zebedee's children with her sons, worshiping him and desiring a certain thing of him. And he said unto her, "What wilt thou?" She said unto him, "Grant that my two sons may sit, the one on thy right hand and the other on the left in thy kingdom." Okay, what did she want? She wanted them to rule. Well, he tells her, you don't know what spiritual ruling is going to be and all that they're going to have to go through to be able to do that. And then in verse 24, and the ten heard it And they were moved with indignation. Now, if they really had the right spirit, they would have said, well, if that's what you want, Lord, that'd be great. We'd love our brothers to. So they're just as bad off as everybody else. And Lord Jesus says, you know, the Gentiles, the lost people, want to have dominion over other people to be served. In verse 26, but it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. The word servant. Wow. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And here's the verse. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Very powerful teaching there. If you want a life that has impact, a life that has worth, then it can't be about you being served. It's got to be you serving others. And the Lord Jesus, of course, was the greatest of all examples. Aren't you glad that he didn't come to be served? Now, let me ask, did Jesus have the right to be served? Does he have the right to receive all glory? Did he have to ever do what he did from the standpoint of being God? No, absolutely not. He made the decision to become a man, to go through all he did because he loved us. You see, his motivation of servanthood was that he wanted the best for his creation. And so he is our example. And if you ever think, man, this is tough, and some of the stuff I got to do for people seems tough, just remember Jesus, and that'll help you. Now, in the book, it talks about the in Isaiah, how that the Lord, as I just said, was worthy of all glory and servanthood. For unto us a child is born. You know, you can hear the Messiah. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But throughout Isaiah, what word is used more than any other to describe Jesus in prophetic terms? It's servant. You know, we look at this, wow, the government shall be upon his shoulder. But because, and I want you to get this, because he was a servant and died for us, that gave him, that will give him the right when he is the God-man on the throne, as the book of Revelation tells us, he will be given the title deed to the entire human race, and he will, as a representative of us, be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that came because he was a servant. Tremendous truth. And honestly, folks, impact, influence, life to have purpose to it, all is intertwined with our servanthood. And so that's important for us. Now, keeping that in mind, let's look at what Jesus went through. He did not have a human nature to be tempted, but he was human. In other words, a fallen human nature. He was truly human, but his spirit was divine. He had no sin in him because he was virgin born. But the devil, as you know, in the wilderness, tempted him on three major occasions. And Jesus resisted by taking the authority of the Word of God. And one of those was the matter of falling down and worshiping Satan. I mentioned on Sunday night, as we're looking at culture and how it's designed by Satan and how he does have authority in the kingdoms of this world until the Lord takes it, as we just mentioned a few moments ago. And the Lord does not rebuke him for saying that, but rebukes him for the with the scripture of saying that you shall worship the Lord your God with all your heart. And him only, the Lord Jesus said, should you serve. And so that's the ultimate. And so the great commandment to love the Lord thy God follows with love thy neighbor as thyself. Serving is how the Lord said it. And so the Lord Jesus was tempted by Satan to do what? Gain authority. Be served. Do you think Satan still uses that? You know, we all want our rights. We feel we deserve certain things. And there are human courtesies and realities, and the roles that God has given us means that all of us have different folks that God has given to help meet our needs. But that's not what should be in our heart to demand that. It is the opposite is not to rule, as I already said, we saw in Matthew 20, but to serve. And the Lord Jesus shows that. You've got to worship God, and then you've got to serve. That is the essence. And so, you know, my husband ought to be doing this for me. Have you ever thought that? If you're human, you have. So I think everybody's human here. As your children get older, my children should do this for me. Never thought that? They're not doing it. The government ought to do this for me. My boss ought to do this for me. On and on. My friends ought to do this for me. That's a natural way to think. We would never want to admit it. But there's that need to be thought well of, not worshipped. We hate that kind of term. But, you know, honestly, we're egocentric with our sinful nature. It takes the power of God to get us to be dead to that, freed from ourselves, and where we really are willing to sacrifice for someone else. Not just enjoy doing it, but really do it because it's the right thing to do. It's just like, it's counterintuitive to the way that we are made. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. You're probably still in 20, so you can flip over a few pages to Matthew chapter 6. Well, so many tremendous truths in this part of the Sermon on the Mount where the Lord lays down what the spiritual kingdom is really about. And in verse 33, very well-known verse, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so if we're really going to be like Christ, it's got to be doing it his way first, and then God is going to take care of us. Now, the writer here gets down to really the American problem, and that is that no one can serve two masters. Let's go over to Luke 16 that she uses, also dealing with some of the same principles here. Luke chapter 16. We must not be thinking about position, wealth, things that we think will help us, and or serving people that maybe can help us with that. If you look at starting in verse 1, you go down this passage here, and you have the whole matter of our stewardship. I don't have time to really get into that. That's a tremendous passage. But then in verse 11, "If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own?" Now, let me just try to get this across here. Every one of you here have abilities, talents, background. Some of you have more resources than another. You know, there's different things that God's given to us. Even life, strength, the ability to do things. Now, what we've got to understand is everything God gave us is not for us. Now, he's good. He's given us richly all things to enjoy. But when it comes to the spiritual realities, all of the abilities, resources, strength that God has given us is for him and for those that he loves. If we can realize he gives, we give. He strengthens, we strengthen others. He helps us do well here, then we want to help somebody else do well. one of the strong themes of our college here is that it's always the next generation. Be thinking, whatever you're given, not how will it just help you, but how can you help somebody else with it as soon as possible. Always thinking of the flow through of your life. So, you know, what happens is God gives us material blessings and boom, they sit right with us and we enjoy them. Well, that's fine, but God always will give more than we need if he can trust us. So, should go this way. Every day you got health, not just for you to feel good, it's a serve. Different things that God gives you, opportunities that you have, give it to somebody else, truth that you learn. That's one of the things we talk about a lot. When you learn something and there's a truth you want to get a hold of, don't just hold on to it yourself, but share it. I wrote down a truth this morning in my hour with God, and I have an idea of where I'm going to share that truth because I want to take and what God's given me to give to somebody else. Now that thought process, you know, we talk about being a servant, we think about going helping clean somebody's house or doing something like that, which is very important. But being a servant is a lot deeper than that. It is about everything God's given us is not just for us. It is for your children. It is for other people around you. It is for the glory of God. It just gets stuck with us. You wonder why God gives other people more things, it seems like? Well, he can trust them with more things. You know, it's not wrong to be rich if your desire is not to be rich. I knew one of the wealthiest men in America. He was a good friend of my dad's. And I'm telling you, during the time he was actually worth in the billions, that money just went right through. Christian causes, constantly trying to be an encouragement. Constantly, he would not hold on to it. Lived in a modest house, lived modestly, and he realized that everything God had given him was for the furtherance of the kingdom of God. And so it didn't surprise me, a man of that kind of character, that God could trust with that kind of thing. For most of us, it would kill us. Say, man, I'd sure love to have $1 million. No, you wouldn't. You would be in such a mess. None of us know how to handle $1 million. You'd think about it. And what would happen is, if you didn't think about it right, you'd say, if I only had 100,000 more, then I'd really be happy. I've read stories along that line, and that's really true. How that works. But the point is, somebody else. Jesus came. He could have been glorified by the angels publicly, had the right to show forth his glory. He came for the purpose of saving our souls. He came to serve. And everything he had, all of his knowledge and all of his power, what did he constantly do? Give, heal, resurrect, teach, love. He was just constantly, early in the morning to late at night, everything he had, he was trying to bless somebody else with. Now, I can tell you today, folks, God wants you to bless somebody else today. He wants you to be a blessing. He wants your touch to change a person's life, even if it's just seemingly in a little way. Obviously, mothers with children, every day you're blessing them. But beyond that, there's somebody that God wants you to just bless. And it doesn't have to be in work that you do, but that might be work that you do, or it may be something you say, something that you encourage. But just it really helps you understand what a servant is. It's a steward. A steward was a slave, but he was the master of the house, had all the possessions put in his care, but he owned none of them. So he used all the possessions of the master, if he was a good steward, for the furtherance of the master. So he'd meet the needs of everybody in the household. He was constantly handling what was given to him for the sake of someone else. And so the Lord Jesus obviously was very, very different than the rest of us. Now, you might say, well, what about good old Mary and Martha? Okay, poor Martha. He's been in many, many a message. And you have, of course, Mary is commended. And and Mary was commended because her focus was on Jesus. Martha was not doing the wrong thing. They needed to eat. The point of coming there was to be shown hospitality. That was not the problem. But the problem was that she was worried about it all, consumed about it for human purposes, and envious of her sister who was not helping her. Those are the issues. And Mary had chosen the greater part, and that is, the ultimate purpose of having Jesus in the home was, of course, to learn from Jesus. But he needed to be, and the disciples needed to be fed. That's why they were there. So this is always, to me, tricky, but got to say it right. Service is never about you. It's never about people thinking your meal was great or that your that your house just looks wow, you know, or that what you do is appreciated. That's where Martha had gotten into trouble. In other words, she was so concerned that she put on the best, and why was Mary wasting her time listening to Jesus when, this has got to be just right. And by the way, in Near Eastern hospitality, Martha was really not out of whack. I mean, that was a big, big deal, if you know anything about that. But it's a good lesson in what is our motive in our servanthood. The world can serve, but not really serve. Christians can serve. And you see, well, I see this one lady, and she has burned out, hasn't done right by her family, and or by her husband. Well, there's nothing wrong with serving. The problem was her motive wasn't pure. Her motive was out of a human desire to do whatever she was doing for whatever purpose. And can't you relate to that? I mean, think about how many times we want to help other people, but we can get our own motives injected in to what we're doing. And the only way that you can overcome that is to walk with God and to have the love of God in your heart. You know, sometimes, let's just go to Martha's example. You can be so busy about making sure everything's right and having somebody over that you don't meet the needs of the people that came over. Maybe things won't be quite so perfect, but you have good fellowship and you're able to be an encouragement to them. You follow me? See, it's all the purpose. You want them there to be a blessing, to give what you have so they can be encouraged, not that you had everything perfect in how you did it. All right. So let me end as was ended in this chapter here. Some points that I think are helpful. Is it really genuine service? Well, it is when we serve others when it's not convenient or if it is convenient. In other words, so much genuine servanthood comes when, wow, the sacrifice of meeting a need means something is going to have to go. Serving others whether they deserve it or not. Now, folks, the real test of our servant's heart are to do it when God says do it to people that aren't so lovely, people you get no human benefit from and you may not be attracted to. That's real service. Serving whether you're thanked or not shouldn't even bother you. Did you realize in reaching people, some people that you're trying to reach by serving them aren't going to even know how to thank? So if your purpose is to be thanked and appreciated, and you wait for the thank you note, and by the way, I think you ought to send thank you notes, all right? But that's a good indicator that our motives aren't pure. Serving others with sacrificial love, and serving by as Christ did by giving his life as a ransom for our souls. So servanthood is really Jesus Christ. I mean, he had everything and gave up everything because he served. And so what we've got to do, contentment is with godliness is great gain. If we're satisfied with what we have, we're not worried about gaining, if we're not worrying about being served, but we're really happy with where we're at because we're walking with God, then there's no problem to give. But if we're constantly trying to get to another level in our life, we won't be sacrificial in our servanthood. I've had so many people tell me, now, Pastor, I'll really get involved in ministry once we get this settled, and this settled. It's never, ever settled. It's next year, it's the next year, it's the next year. As the old saying goes, if you need something really done, give it to the person who's doing the most. And normally that's true because they're the one that has decided that they're going to have a life of giving. And so they're not about themselves. They're not making priority judgments that are putting themselves first. So there has to be a balance here. It can't be for ourselves even in feeling good in service. But we are so much, we're bound by ourselves more than we know, and we're not serving normally nearly like we should. And let me just say this for those of you that have children in your home. Your home will be really happy if it's a giving home. The happiest moments we had with my children when they were in the home is when we went and sacrificed and did something together as a family. I remember one Christmas we had one of our dear families here, had a terrible accident some hours away from here, and several of them were in the hospital with some pretty major injuries. And so I just said, kids, we're going to do gift giving in the car, and we're going to go, bring your instruments, we're just going to spend the day at that hospital on Christmas Day. That's probably the best Christmas we ever had. We had a great time all the way. The kids loved it. Because they sense this is what life is about. And it was a very, very special day. And so there's nothing like being free of yourself. That's the point. But it's got to be for the purpose of accomplishing God's will. All right, lots of stuff to talk about there at your table, so I'll let you get going on that.